I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
La 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 Lord Boys.
Hey everybody, my name's Ethan, this is the Lore Boys. With me is...
Peter O'Donohue.
And James Miller. I can't wait to hear that on top of the trailing end of Eric's
game. Yeah. I'm going to give it a full 10 seconds of dead air between the end of the theme song and the start of this episode. So
good.
How's it going, guys? Sorry all our listeners for the hiatus. I'm a dumb bitch who goes on vacation a lot.
I was trying to get a promotion at work.
Yeah. I was spending my weekends at chalets.
Yeah, exactly. It's summertime. I'm sure people will understand. They're out and about anyway.
Yeah.
Although it is fucking insane that you... I don't think you've spent a weekend in town for like 6 weeks.
Yeah, no, since May. Yeah.
Jesus.
Easy.
Yeah. Rich boy having fun.
Yeah, right? He's just... put on his Daisy Dukes, and he's been gallivanting about the countryside.
Strange men just pick me up in their cars, and we go fun places.
Yeah, you're the one who Hall & Oates sing about.
Yeah. I'm the rich girl who's gone too far.
And he also makes your dreams come true.
Yeah, that is true. Yeah. That's true. I'm not Sarah, but I do smile. So,
welcome back, everybody.
Welcome back. Yeah.
Thanks for sticking around.
Yeah, thank you.
Our downloads, honestly, I've been checking the numbers during the hiatus.
Okay.
We are still in the green. Downloads still going up, but we're up by 3%, which is lower than normal.
Yeah, sure.
Hey, that's fine.
Thank you, that 3%.
Yeah.
Whoever you are out there. Spicy Chimera on Twitter.
Is it Spicy Chimera?
Something like that.
Yeah.
You know who you are.
Yeah.
You're the one who accused us of being an echo chamber.
Yeah.
Did that really happen? Yeah.
And you want it.
And she wasn't wrong. Yeah. He, she wasn't wrong. They weren't wrong.
And you want also us to do hentai.
Yeah. Also.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You tried to trick us into doing a hentai episode. Yeah.
I googled that at work.
And Pony Plays also gave us a shout out this week on his stream while he was
Chris.
Live. And I really like that. So go check out Pony Plays. Like Pony, like pwn your those noobs. PWN.
Yeah. He's playing Dauntless these days.
Dauntless. He does on Fridays. He does Photoshop streams, which are really fun.
Mm.
Yeah.
That does sound fun.
Yeah.
But what are we talking about on our own show?
So what? 2 months ago, a month and a half ago, Netflix announced that the Russo brothers, who did the Avengers movies,
more importantly, several episodes of Arrested Development.
Yeah, they also did several episodes of Arrested Development. Yeah. Are going to be helping Netflix to produce a Magic the Gathering animated TV series. So I thought I would do another episode on Magic the Gathering.
It's always relevant.
Because you guys know I have boners for dumb nerds things.
Yeah. Magic and D&D.
And Warhammer.
And Warhammer. Mm-hmm. That's it. Yeah.
I saw a great Warhammer meme today. I'll post it on Twitter later.
That means it's been up on Twitter for 2 days at this point. 2 or 3 days.
Yeah.
At time of listening.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, go find it.
So we've done 3 Magic episodes? 4? 3?
We did Ravnica. We did The Brothers
War. I like
War.
How you looked at Peter.
The Brothers
you,
War.
You didn't even look at me to know, see if I remember.
I don't think you were on 2 of them. I think you've been on 1 of our Magic episodes.
Oh, right.
So far, James.
Yeah. That's right.
So Jamie's a magical virgin.
Ooh.
I know about Jace, the bullied blue guy. I remember the fire sorceress, the red girl. Mm-hmm. I remember
we've done 3.
That mm-hmm. their magic powers pop under extreme stress, just like boys' puberty.
Yeah, and they go through magical puberty, and they become a... You remember the word?
Planeswalker?
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, so we've done 3, because I remember the artwork that we've done. I have Jace disguised, who is run away from home.
And he put pillows in his bed.
And disguised his bed.
Yeah.
There's also...
Because he's an illusion wizard.
What the fuck is the guy's name? Starts with a U. He's one of the...
Urza.
Urza. And then also we did... Liliana Vest versus Nicol Bolas.
Yes. And then we did the Bolas episode.
Yes. Oh, I remember Nicol Bolas.
He's the magnet dragon.
The magnet dragon, So the show will most likely follow the planeswalkers that you mentioned, like Jace and Liliana and Chandra and
hopefully.
Gideon. And there's like a ton of stories.
Yeah.
So like we did the Brothers War,
You could do that.
Of Urza, which was like one of the earlier stories. And there's like Yawgmoth, and we did the Phyrexian invasion. We talked about, we might have done four episodes. I know we talked about the invasion set once, where like these metal, like gothic metal monsters poured in from another plane
and
to take over the plane of Dominaria, which is the central plane. And we talked about how it was sundered and created all these rifts and was basically placed into the shards of Alara. So the plane was split up into like 12 different shards.
Yes. I do remember listening to that one.
Yeah.
So then we've done 3 to 4 episodes
about
that.
That's why, yeah. So I was like, I think 3 or 4. Yeah. I don't know. I could have gone back and looked, but I didn't. Somebody tweeted me.
Do you like the
our listeners are smarter than us. Just tweet at me.
We like the card games.
Yeah. Yeah, so today's episode is going to kind of... I want to talk about Jessica on this episode, and this is not going to be a one-parter. This is going to be a multi-parter. I think I can get it done in 2. It might be 3. I don't know.
Cool.
But
I'm ready. Strap in, guys. Put on your lore seatbelts, because we're going to do some lore.
Do some lore belts for those lore boys.
Yeah.
I'm just going to
belt
like it.
People like buckling up on public transit. Yeah, yeah. I'm like, they're fucking freaks.
I'm going to belt this episode out at the top of my lungs. You ready?
No.
Yeah, so we're going to talk about someone named Jessica, who eventually is going to do some fixing of those shards and all the rifts that appeared on Dominaria on the plane. We were talking about magical rifts that kind of appeared in like the air and would just like destroy the world around them. We talked about Teferi, who managed to like phase his entire island like out of existence to protect it from a rift and stuff.
Wow.
But to get to Jessica, we're going to give some background, and we're going to actually today talk about her brother, Kamal.
Okay.
Kamal.
So,
how do you spell Kamal for me?
K A M A H L.
Oh, the H is what threw me off. Mm-hmm. I didn't
Kamal.
Think that, yeah.
That's, that's where you get the long in there.
Yeah. So yeah, Kamal. Kamal.
Oh, no. Kamal. Guy, they just put their seatbelts on. Don't make them have to take it off. Right?
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, kill me. What the fuck are they talking about now? Kill me.
Yeah. I'm done.
Yeah. So as a reminder from our few of our past episodes, however many there were, magic is set in a multiverse, a sprawling Byzantine array of dimensions, most of which have unique flares. So there's like, you know, there's desert dimension, there's Phyrexian horror dimension, there's, you know.
Yeah, I like that one.
Yeah, there's demon dimensions, there's
that's a good one.
Yeah, so it's like a multiverse, and like most of them have their own like specific flair to them, kind of thing. There's, you know, Ravnica, which is like guilds, like it's all guilds, and it's the whole plane is one sprawling city basically,
right? Yeah,
yeah.
Just an urban.
Yeah, yeah. That's it.
Yeah, it's like it's a GTA.
Demonic horrors.
Yeah.
It's plane like of fire.
Toronto.
Yeah, exactly.
Frankly, it's probably the worst one.
Goes on forever.
Yeah. I'll take the Phyrexian horrors, thank you.
Yeah, yeah. Take that, Toronto.
Hey,
magic has a multitude of storylines, all spanning these countless planes, usually by beings capable of traveling between them, conveniently named planeswalkers.
Yeah.
So planeswalkers have the ability to travel between dimensions quasi at will. There was the one dimension, Ixalan, with the dinosaur riding vampires.
Which is fucking
vampire
cool.
Conquistadors.
Which is the coolest thing I've ever heard.
Who, like, from that plane, because the Immortal Sun was on it, they couldn't leave. So Jace ended up plane wrecked there. And couldn't leave.
Right.
He got marooned there after their fight with Bolas.
Right.
On Amonkhet. And the Hour of Devastation, and ended up on Ixalan.
Amonkhet was the kind of Egyptian-themed desert
yeah,
one.
Yeah, the desert, the okay, Egyptian.
I remember that. Nico Bolas also, who is a planeswalking dragon, and possibly one of the strongest ones in existence.
Yeah, so we will talk about him when we talk about the rifts.
He's got his fingers in many planes pies,
because
he's so strong.
He like right now, and I think for the show, Nico Bolas will be the main villain.
I should hope so. He sounds... what I've learned,
for the longest time, like when we did the Brothers Wars, Urza and Mishra, like the villain for the longest time was Yawgmoth.
Right.
But Yawgmoth, his story like is done writing, whereas Nicol Bolas' story is still being written.
Okay.
In terms of like current magic canon. But Yawgmoth did die, kind of came back for the Phyrexian invasion. Yeah. go listen to our last episodes.
So just thinking about Nico Bolas, but like in the desert plain or whatever, and all the little like molecular pieces of metal just like getting all stuck to him.
Oh, yeah.
And him like reversing his polarity or something.
Shooting
and
it out.
Shooting it out. That'd be such a cool attack.
His magnet powers are Lore Boys Canon.
Yeah, that's Lore Boys Canon, not Magic the Gathering Canon.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck.
It's just because he has like two horns and he has like a little orb that floats in the middle of them.
Oh,
so
man.
So Peter and I joked one time that it was because he had magnets.
I think I was there for that one.
You might have been there for that one. It's so hard to remember your face ever, so.
We actually don't look at each other's faces during
the time. No, we sit back to back. Well, that way you guys can't see me cranking.
How do you do that with your seatbelt on?
I take mine off. I take mine off for this lore ride.
No!
Dang.
I'm a danger to us all. So, for a long time, Dominaria was the plane most focused on in the various stories, as the central plane of the multiverse. More recently, other planes have been explored. Dominaria, through events we talked about previously, was sundered into the 12 shards, which were sealed off from time. All magic comes from five elements, essentially. White, blue, black, red, green.
Oh, I thought you were going to say the Spice Girls.
Yeah. Posh, scary.
Spooky.
Baby.
No, spooky and scary are the same person.
That sounds right.
Sounds right.
Scary Spice.
Baby and Sporty.
Baby Sporty, that's it.
Mm-hmm. Were there four or five Spice
Girls? Wait, why didn't Sporty Spice marry David Beckham? That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. The internal canon of the Spice Girls doesn't make any sense at all.
We'll do a Spice Girls Expanded Universe someday.
You don't want to have everything in common with your spouse, right? You got to have your own thing.
Fair. Right.
So if you're both Sporty Spice, then...
I guess David Beckham is very rich, so posh and David Beckham does make sense. So, all right, Posh Spice.
Yeah, so the Planeswalkers are all a combination of two Spice Girls. So it's like one's like Sporty Posh.
Yeah, exactly.
One's Scary Sporty.
Well, you could also build a three-color Spice Girls deck.
It's harder.
It's harder. They're usually a little more expensive. Yeah. But you can make it work.
Yeah, you've got a Posh, Scary, and Sporty deck.
There's Nico Bolas, the infamous Dragon Planeswalker that we talked about previously. Now, Planeswalkers are strong, but they used to be much, much stronger. There was an event on Dominaria which split it into shards. The Sundering ruined the way mana, the essence of magic, could flow through Dominaria, which was literally the center of the universe and essentially feeding all or most other planes. When Dominaria got sundered, all Planeswalkers got weaker.
Now they have to go a swamp. If they need swamp mana, they have to like actually go through a swamp and like pull out a card.
I got one! The blue mana just carry buckets of water with them. So this...
Gotta go over to the cranberry marsh. Yeah. Just like, ugh!
This sundering and the repair of Dominaria is kind of what I want to talk about over these couple episodes. To close the rifts, Planeswalkers had to give up their sparks. So the thing that gives them their magic, that lets them travel between planes...
That bullying wasn't worth it.
Yeah, exactly. So many Planeswalkers did give up their spark... in order to stem the destructive forces of the rifts, the one planeswalker, Jessica, is responsible for closing more of them than any other. Jessica, thrice touched by infinity, also known as Phage the Untouchable at some point, was born to a barbarian tribe on a long, thin continent of Dominaria known as Otaria.
Jeez, that title is a lot to take in.
Thrice touched by infinity?
Yeah. And then also untouched. Somehow.
Yeah, so we'll get into it on the next episode.
Okay.
But there's... Jessica the card, and there's also a card called Phage the Untouchable.
Yes.
Which Phage's thing is, if she deals damage to you, you lose the game.
Oh.
if she deals damage to you in any way, you lose the game. There's also...
That seems kind of fucked up.
There's also text on her card where you can't... what's called cheating her out. So, when you play a card in Magic the Gathering, there's a color cost, and there's a colorless cost. So basically, like I said, there's the five colors, white, blue, black, red, and green. To pay for Phage, it's three black and four colorless, which is very expensive. It's hard to get three black mana, like, consistently, and then to have seven mana is, like, especially in a black deck, like, it's hard to get it out before turn seven.
Okay.
So she's strong, but there's some really cool things. I played with this Jamal, who you know.
Yeah.
He used to have a Jessica commander deck, or a Phage commander deck.
Okay.
So Jessica has this text on her card that says, like, if she enters play any other way than being cast from your hand, you lose the game.
Oh.
So you can't. So there are cards in Magic which are like, search your deck for a card, put it onto the battlefield.
Okay.
If you do that with Phage, you lose the game.
Can you give it to your opponent?
So Jamal has like a couple ways. There are a couple ways to win. There are ways that you can, from your graveyard or from your, like, from different zones in your deck, you can put it onto their battlefield.
Okay.
Which would make them lose the game.
Nice.
You can also get cards that say, like, you can't lose the game this turn. The way the stack works in Magic, too, the way, like, events are ordered, like, basically, you put Phage down onto the battlefield,
mm-hmm.
and now on the stack, on the things that are going to happen for the rest of the turn, there's something that says, like, you lose the game.
Yes.
But it hasn't happened yet. Phage is on the battlefield, but it hasn't happened yet.
Okay.
There are also cards which say, like, end the turn.
Just throw that in there really
quick. So it goes on top of that, and then the turn ends, and the stack gets destroyed.
Okay.
So, like, the you lose the game clause never happens.
Okay.
So, like, there are ways to, like, play with it.
It's like Russian roulette, kind of, where you're trying to fuck with the other person and, so, like, and gamble with your own deck to see if you can not suicide. And
meanwhile, try not to lose to a rush deck by turn seven.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, like, she's not the strongest card. She's far from the strongest card.
Yeah.
She's very, very niche, but you can make, like, fun little decks with her.
Yeah.
That's kind of, like, Magic's whole thing is, like, the complexity of Magic the Gathering, right? It's just, like, there are so many different rules and so many, like, different ways. Jamie and I have played a lot of Hearthstone. He's getting back into it recently.
Yeah. The whole time you were talking, I was like,
Blizzard Boy,
holy shit, this is way more complicated than Hearthstone.
So, yeah, that's the whole thing. Like, Hearthstone is great. It's good fun. But, like, Magic is so much more complex. And especially the taking actions on your opponent's turn.
Mm-hmm.
Like, every time anything happens in Magic the Gathering, everybody gets a chance to react to it. So, like, anytime you do anything, it goes your priority. So it goes active player's priority, then non-active player's priority.
Oh, okay, cool.
Which becomes a lot messier to make into a game as well. Like, a digital game instead of a physical game.
Yeah. There are digital Magic games. MTG Arena is the big one now.
And the other one's Duels, I think?
Duels was the old one. That's defunct now. It ended with Hour of Devastation, the last set that they released. They only did, like, a handful of sets or whatever.
Sure.
Arena, I don't think it's all the sets either.
Okay.
Because it's, like, 25 years of, like, Magic sets or whatever.
Yeah, that'd be so hard to balance for a video game.
Well, then there's the big one. Well, I mean, it's all balanced because, like, the game's there. Like, the game is balanced.
Okay.
Like, the card game is balanced. It's just translating it. There's Magic the Gathering Online, which is the most popular one, which is, like, you buy cards, you can trade cards, you can do everything. It's basically just digital Magic.
Yeah.
Like, you just have the cards. The UI is, like, very, very dated. It's not so pretty anymore. But functionally, it works fine.
Okay.
And you can play, like, you can play, like, all the sets are available. You can play any game mode. Well, not any game mode, because, like, a lot of people have custom game modes and stuff, but there's a lot of game modes. You can play Commander and stuff.
Cool.
Yeah, it's interesting for sure. So Jessica, not Phage yet. She won't become Phage this episode. We're not really going to talk about her. Like I said, we're going to talk about her brother.
Okay.
She's just a planeswalker that exists right now.
Yeah, so she's born to a barbarian tribe in Oteria. Oteria was relatively untouched by the invasion of Phyrexians. So we talked about the invasion, how these mechanical gothic monsters came through a rift.
Yeah,
like,
place I know in Oteria.
Yeah.
Was there a mechanical dragon?
There are mechanical dragons.
But, like, from the Phyrexians. Did some guy build, like, some sort of horrible zombie dragon?
So there's zombie dragons and there's mechanical dragons. I don't know if there's both.
Okay.
But probably, yeah.
Okay, cool.
Dang.
Some guy who built a meat monster,
Peter,
right?
Peter, go back and listen to our last episode.
I'll do that right now. Goodbye, everybody.
Yeah, we built meat monsters in the Arthas episode, but
mm-hmm.
That's not so long ago.
Take a drink for meat monsters.
from Monster Hunter World, they used to make armor out of humans, I think.
If you wanted a dragon's armor, you would kill it a bunch of times and then just take pieces of it and sew it together onto you. And I think the joke was they had, like, a dragon on the anvil with the big hammer.
No,
or something.
A human on the
anvil.
Building it out of a guy.
Yeah. So if we wanted a human's armor, we would have to do that. That was it. Yeah.
Jessica and her brother Kamal were born there sometime after Urza manages to stave the Phyrexians off.
Okay. I like how her name is, like, super normal.
Jessica?
Jessica.
It's not Jessica. It's J-E-S-K-A.
Oh, Jessica. Jessica.
Just Jessica.
Okay.
Not Jessica.
There's no I in Jessica.
There's no I in Jessica.
Just Jessica.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's, she sounds like a, it sounds like one of those names that like some suburban idiot would invent for their
child.
Yeah,
that's it.
So to
my
ensure,
daughter Jessica.
Yeah, to ensure that they are bullied for their entire life and become a planeswalker.
Yeah. Name your children Peter, okay? If your kid's not named Peter, they're an idiot and they're doing it wrong.
Yeah.
Jesus.
P-E-H-T-R.
Yeah.
Petter.
Better.
Due to the fact that Otaria was relatively safe during the invasions, streams of countless refugees poured into Otaria throughout the invasion and afterwards. So again, like the Gothic robots didn't get to Otaria, so like people were like, we're gonna escape to there.
Okay, well that's fair.
So it turned into this kind of like, again, she's from a barbarian tribe, and it turned into from this very like tribal continent to like a massive influx of people and everything, and all these different cultures clashing. Yeah.
Cool.
When the two were young, Kamal would leave Otaria to seek his fortune as a prize fighter. So he's a barbarian, also a spellcaster.
Oh, that's a neat combo.
Yeah, so magic in Magic the Gathering, like when you play, you're role-playing like as a planeswalker, I guess.
You yourself.
Yeah, like you, the player, you're represented as a planeswalker. So anytime you play like a monster card or something... it's essentially you're summoning it from like another plane to like fight for you. Same with spells.
And you need the mana to power it
through
you to summon it onto the...
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, okay. So the power comes from the planes, which is why like different aspects of planes have different powers. Blah, blah, blah.
And if the whole sundering thing hadn't weakened all the planeswalkers, it'd be a pretty boring game. Just if you pick up like a 10 mana card, you can just play it
just
right
play
away.
Right away.
Thank you, Horrible Cataclysm, for balancing our card game.
Andrew Garfield's like, whoo!
That sounds like something someone on Reddit would suggest. The only way to balance this game is just like the
world-ending apocalypse.
So Kamal leaves Otaria to seek his fortune as a prize fighter. He arrives in a place called Cabal City, which is a black-colored city.
Okay.
A lot of the cities, a lot of the places are always themed or whatever, so black is kind of like death and like very Mad Max. Like
emo.
Yeah, like spikes and leather.
Okay,
and,
yeah.
Nice.
A good old-fashioned, like pseudo-dominatrix apocalypse.
Yeah,
sort
exactly,
of okay.
Exactly.
I feel it. People wearing dog masks. People think it's okay.
Yeah. He was initially derided due to his shabby appearance and barbarian origins. He's like, hey, look at you. You smell.
You don't even have a leather jacket.
Hey, big guy with scary sword. You smell.
Yeah, you don't even have a leather jacket. Yeah.
What is that, fur? probably we're saying that like because he's from a barbarian tribe, from a rather green area, Kamal is more green aligned than black aligned.
Oh, okay.
So he is kind of like a fish out of water at this point. Kamal quickly earned...
The girl in the city.
Yeah. That's it, yeah. He shows up wearing like hot pink.
Yeah.
Is
he going to make it after all?
Yeah, to the goth party. Kamal quickly earned the favor of the people by proving himself in combat, however, and with it came a small fortune.
Ooh.
So he's doing pretty well. He's like, well, you look like a pansy, but you sure can't fight well.
Yeah.
Sure do kill things good. Competitor after competitor, Kamal slew, earning his name in the blood of his enemies.
And we're pretty big on death here in Black
yeah,
City.
No, yeah, no, that's it. Yeah, so they have the pit fighting, and like everybody loves it. It's only considered a good thing.
We never thought you could open this pit up.
Yeah, yeah.
Damn.
Look at him, he cut that guy's
I head. Always like in video games when they have like an arena section.
Yeah.
And so many video games do, but when you get thrown in and there's
Oblivion, like, man, that was always the
Oh
always
yeah, the, dude.
You just like rush the arena and then just make so much fucking gold that you're just set for the rest of the game.
You just break the economy.
Yeah, Witcher 2 does it, I think, as well. There's an arena.
Fable?
Fable did it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hollow Knight did it. Mm-hmm. So many good games have arenas.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But so many games are about fighting, so it makes
sense.
Yeah. Computers do conflict very well.
Yeah. Kamal fought for glory and for wealth, though he fought in particular for one of several prizes offered in a tournament. So he gets there, he kind of makes his name as a pit fighter, and shortly, or sometime after, they announce like they're going to have a 3-day tournament of pit fighters, and whoever wins will win a prize. Sometime earlier, or just before the tournament was announced, a man named Chainer, a member of the Cabal, for which the city gets his name, finds an artifact. Near the start of the tournament, he found an artifact known as the Mirari, a monkey's paw-esque artifact which would grant wishes but would eventually come back to bite the wisher.
Love it.
Yeah.
Nice.
What does it look like? Is it like a crystal? Or?
It kind of looks like the Super Bowl, where it's like a silver kind of cone with like a ball at the top.
Oh, okay. The Super Bowl trophy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
I see.
Not the Super Bowl event.
Yeah.
Looks like a giant stadium with a bunch of people running around.
Yeah,
in it.
Yeah. Very tiny. Every time you make a wish, one of them disappears.
Yeah, exactly. And it just is the arena that they fought.
Yeah,
in.
Exactly. That's strange.
Okay. So do we know if we're going to find out more about the Mirari, I guess?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool.
Nope, that's the last time we mentioned the accursed wish-granting object.
As soon as Kamal laid eyes on the Mirari, he became obsessed with it. He joined the tournament and began working his way towards earning it. His first great challenge would not come in the arena, however, but in an attack on the city by a Krosan dragon.
Whoa.
What's a Krosan dragon?
So Krosa
is
basically where Kamal is from. It's a very green part of
Otaria. Okay, it's like a race of dragons. It's Krosan.
Yeah.
From his hometown, too, right?
It's
a piece of his past coming back.
Exactly. So the Krosan dragons of Otaria have no wings, but have six legs, are covered in thorny armor, and breathe a magical vapor that causes wild vegetation to grow in their presence.
Alrighty.
Yeah. That is the weirdest vape juice, dude.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, what jewel flavor is that? Chlorophyll, man.
Yeah, exactly.
I like that.
I like that we're all wearing backwards hats for our vape juice.
Talking about, talking about jewel pods. We're in it with the kids, you know what I'm saying?
I like that. I might sketch that out later. Vaping dragon.
Vaping dragon.
Blowing out just whatever fucking cotton candy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm starting to think this is symbolic of him leaving his past behind, though. Something from his homeworld comes, and he has to fight it.
Well, his old buddy, who he doesn't hang out with anymore, is really into vaping.
Yeah,
he's
yeah.
just like, well, man, I just want you to, like, maybe we could open a vape shop
just
together.
Try it, bro.
I know there's a vape shop on literally every single fucking corner, but, like, ours could probably be good.
Yeah, we'll do some tattoos at the same time. Yeah, the crowd here looks really into it.
Yeah,
right?
Word.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
A lot of tattoos in Kamal City.
Yeah.
It gets more symbolic than that, James. Smaller Krosan dragons called dragonettes were used in the Cabal's pits.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no.
So it was to avenge its fallen young that the Krosan dragon attacked Cabal City that day. So not only is it like his past coming back to get him, but he literally came to Cabal City as though he was trying to kill his past.
Wow.
The
younger versions of himself.
Yeah, yeah.
If we want to get real into metaphors here.
So the Krosan dragon's showing up, and he finds out that all the other vape shops that he'd opened had been taken over.
Yeah. he sent his kids to go open the vape shop up
a vape
for him
franchise.
And found out they were thrown into like a blood fighting
ring. And to be clear, the same guy, Frig, I already forgot his name. I wanted to call him Krosan, but it's the guy with
Kamal.
The H in his name. Kamal. Mm-hmm. Kamal is the one who also wants the
Mirari.
Mirari,
yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I just think Mercedes Ferrari.
Okay, yeah.
Mirari,
there you go.
Got it.
Yeah. So yeah, we've talked about two people so far, Kamal and Chainer.
Got it.
Chainer's the one who found the Mirari, and Kamal is the one who is fighting and who wants it.
Yeah,
great.
As the tournament's going on, as he's fighting and he's winning and he's getting closer to it,
Krosan
dragon shows up and starts attacking the city.
Shit.
So the city rose against the dragon, and Kamal would lend his blade.
The wanton destruction of the Krosan dragon, just fucking bushes everywhere.
Yeah.
a trail of rose petals in his path. Yeah.
It's full of acorns.
The horror. The horror.
It's just messing with their aesthetic. You know?
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, that's it. No, we're too cool for these fucking flowers. Get them out of here. God, it's okay.
Once he set up a bunch of like urban shared gardens, and
they're
just like,
yeah.
No!
Goddamn hippies! Fucking hipsters ruining our city. So the city rises against the dragon. They're like, not on our watch. Kamal helps. Eventually, he would actually be the one to slay the dragon.
Because he hates hippies as much as the next guy.
Exactly.
Good.
He's trying to give up that past part of himself, you know what I mean? After he kills the dragon, however, he's pinned underneath it. So basically, like, he's underneath manages to kill it.
Dodge to the side, idiot.
It falls on top of him, and he's, like, pinned. He doesn't die, but while he was stuck, a rival for the Mirari, the arrogant Lieutenant Kirtar, who is an Aven, took the credit for the kill. Avens are bird people.
Oh.
So a bird person, while he's pinned underneath the corpse of his this slain dragon,
comes up
and is like, I didn't see.
It's just there, his head up from underneath. No, good. It was me. Like, his sword is still in the thing.
Yeah.
In the bottom.
You know what
part
birds eat? They like cover it with their wings.
Yeah, yeah.
Is he like around his body?
Just around his head. Just like, no, it was me.
Sitting on him like an egg.
Yeah. That's it, hatching his face.
I'm going to be so mad when I get out of here.
Yeah. for his efforts, with air quotes, Kirtar was granted the Mirari.
Oh, Birdman got it.
Yeah, so the Cabal, who leads Cabal City, was basically, and is running this tournament, were basically like, oh, because you killed the dragon, you get to choose one of the prizes that we were going to offer in the tournament.
Oh.
And he chose the Mirari.
Shoot.
They didn't ask for proof or anything? Like a bloody sword?
I mean, he was probably helped fighting it,
yeah.
But he just didn't deal the killing blow, I guess, which is what really counts.
As someone who's rooting for,
Kamal.
Kamal, yes, right now. I'm happy that Bird Person got the Mirari, because it sounds like a curse, right?
I mean, we'll see. We'll find out if this is really a curse or not.
Not all monkey paws are bad.
Yeah.
Right?
Well,
the point of the story of the monkey's paw was kind of that they're all bad.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, I guess you're right.
Oh, never mind. Birdman got this cursed object.
Yeah.
This is probably pretty bad.
I don't ever want to have to walk to work again. Then you don't have legs. Like,
yeah, exactly.
But he's got wings, probably.
Yeah,
I don't want to ever have to fly to work again. He loses his wings.
There we go.
Kamal, who was attuned to the magic of the planes, had felt the artifact calling to him since he arrived in Cabal City, was stung further by Kirtar receiving it. Kirtar set off now with godly powers and began to shut down governments along the way. So we talked about Cabal City.
Uh-oh.
Black aspected.
Yes.
Kirtar is a lieutenant for Cabal City. There's another the Cabal City is run by the Cabal. There's another faction called the Order. And these are white-aligned, like, military priests.
Okay.
Basically.
What color is a Bird Person?
He's black. Well, I mean, yeah, he's black.
Okay.
He fights for black.
Okay.
Typically, Aven are white-blue.
All right.
They're typically...
I've seen the pictures of the cards.
Like a seagull.
They're typically good.
Like, yeah, exactly.
Just air and
like
water.
A seagull.
Yeah.
Air and water. Fire and earth.
That's how you make a seagull.
And sometimes when the waves come in too hard and there's wind,
seagulls form
emerges and flies out.
That's how they're born.
Exactly. They're always at the beach.
Now I'm just imagining the saving guy as just like a seagull man,
yeah.
But also basically just like kind of just dirty and gross, just like walks up and just like.
Lower Boy's canon. He crawled out of the sea one day,
okay,
to claim this artifact.
But there was. Tar,
yeah.
And
how could you betray me after I saved you from choking on that paper bag in a parking lot?
Yeah, that's it. I cut that six pack rings off your neck.
Yeah.
It's literally Kamal had like fries, and fucking Kirtar swooped in and stole them.
Yeah, fuck.
Classic seagull. So Kirtar goes after the Order, this military religious group whose primary function was to seek out and destroy powerful magical artifacts. Mm. So the Order was kind of like an opposing faction, and Kirtar was like, now that I have this power, the power of wishes, I could just go like destroy them, and I can like kick my feet up at work. I don't have to worry about them anymore.
My webbed feet.
Mm. Kamal was hot on Kirtar's heels. He managed to free himself from underneath the crows and dragons. Somebody finally like gave him a hand, like lifted it up for him.
Hey, buddy.
Yeah, yeah.
Just opened a can of spinach and poured it into his mouth. Yeah. It was sticking out. He is green aspected too,
I
right?
Get me that seagull.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, how does that hurt? I don't even know if that was a good impression.
I don't know either. I don't know what Popeye sounds like.
Someone from 1919, tweet at me and tell me if that sounded like Popeye.
As it, seagulls are white and blue. That guy is collared greens.
Yeah. Kirtar sets out for the Order. Kamal is following him, looking for the Mirari. He's going to try and get it from him. He's going to challenge him for it.
Was he looking for ironic disasters caused by his Kirtar's wishes?
Yeah. I wish I could think of an ironic disaster now.
Yeah, me too.
A bridge builder who falls off a bridge.
Whose own bridge collapses underneath him.
Yeah.
Or who loses all his friends, thus burning bridges.
Oh, okay.
Mm. Oh, I like that.
That's
one.
Cruel. Yeah. There we go. We did it.
Yeah.
We did it.
That's why we work together.
He's going tavern to tavern meeting people like this.
Yeah.
I met this lovely seagull who promised me that all my friends would love me more, but now they all hate me. I always wanted to be a bridge builder, and I wished for it. All my friends abandoned me.
Yeah, exactly. So consumed in his work that he has no friends. That's allegorical. That's a good one.
Yeah, there we go.
The monkey's paw is just like a semantic killer, you know? Like, yeah, yeah. It's always looking for semantics.
It's, yeah, it's legal loopholes.
Yeah.
It takes everything literally.
Yeah.
Is why.
Yeah. So Kirtar gets to, like, the Order Capitals, gets to their temple, their fortress, or whatever, or one of their temples or fortresses. And Kamal gets there, like, just shortly after him. As conflict is drawing nearer, Kirtar casts a powerful spell which turned much of the fortress and the people in it to crystal.
Cool.
Unfortunately, he also turned himself to crystal in the process.
Shit.
I wish everybody in this palace was made of crystal. Oh no, I'm in this palace too.
Yeah, he forgot to step outside the foyer.
That's it. You need like a team of lawyers to like use the monkey's paw, right? Yeah.
I have a fantastic... Okay, so after this, remind me. I'll show you guys afterwards. I'll put it up on Instagram as a hint. Today is I have a picture of a monkey's paw wearing glasses and a tie around the wrist.
Okay.
And it's... Oh, it is exactly that. It's my client, Mr. Monkey Paw.
Mr. Monkey Paw.
Because he has a lawyer.
Yeah, you need like you need rock solid contracts to deal with.
Yeah, exactly.
Kamal manages to...
But if you asked it for a rock solid contract, then...
Yeah, but then it'd be too heavy to carry, and you wouldn't be able to sign it because it's made of stone.
Yeah, stone.
Exactly.
No, not like this.
That's when the bridge builder got bad contracts.
Yeah, exactly. Kamal manages to escape the spell's effect.
All of his employees were a Montreal union, so they didn't start working for 65 days.
Yeah, exactly.
Fuck Montreal.
Even when they started, didn't get much done.
Nah.
Kamal manages to escape, though he got himself too far away. So far, in fact, that somebody else had time to go back into the crystallized fortress and grab the Murray before he was.
Damn it.
It turns out a lot of people want this thing.
Oh, okay.
Turns out a lot of people covet the ability to grant yourself wishes.
Like,
you know, consequences be damned. The ability to give myself a 2-inch larger penis and be average is pretty appealing. Okay.
What would the ironic curse of like the curse of that be?
You'd be
impotent, I guess.
It grew 2 inches the wrong direction.
Oh no,
it's like an elbow.
Ew. Like up or down?
Ladies,
down would be worse.
Would down be worse?
I think so.
I guess up hits some good spots.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but going pee is just like that.
Oh yeah, right.
It's like
right
that, in your face. It's like that game Pipes. If you guys ever played.
Oh yeah.
Like coming out
the
of
BioShock head. Hacking.
Yeah. Yeah. When you go to the washroom, if it points up to go to the washroom, you need like a hamster, one of those like hamster tubes to like reroute it back into the toilet.
I think it'd just be 2 inches on the end, but just always mushy.
Oh yeah, okay. They were just always soft. Yeah.
Ew.
Even when the rest got hard.
Yeah.
Like a sock that's too long.
Or it's kind of like an uncircumcised penis. Honestly.
Why did I laugh the hardest this episode at a messed up penis?
We're immature.
Yeah, exactly.
If you didn't know it by now, you know it now.
Yeah, it's the 86 episodes or something. Yeah, yeah.
A man, or I should say, a merman, Ambassador Laquatus. Of the Mer Empire.
That's a very merman name.
Laquatus?
Laquatus.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
Recovered the Merari, as he too had been in pursuit of Kirtar after it was given to him in Cabal City.
Now, merfolk in magic, from what I understand, are four-limbed and have, like, webbed digits instead of, like, a tail, right? That's why he can come on land?
They can switch back and forth.
Oh, how convenient.
They can change shape if they're in water.
Yeah.
They can give themselves, like, a fish body, and then when they go to land...
They just eat some iodine, and then they... Go through the transformation.
That we were talking about my axolotl earlier.
Okay.
If you feed it the wrong type of shrimp, it can go through it transforms into a land animal.
It can complete metamorphosis with iodine.
That is so cool.
Yeah.
That is so cool.
I will not be pumping the baby full of iodine, though.
Another animal fact. We got it in.
Yes!
Yeah, yeah.
It used to be Disney songs. Now it's animal
facts. Now it's animal facts.
Fuck,
I like this better.
Yeah, me too.
I love Disney songs, but I like this better.
Yeah.
Yeah, but apparently, like it can die, though, if it doesn't go well or something.
Well, it would no longer be fully aquatic. Her lungs would finish developing.
Oh, man.
And she would lose her gills, which is the main thing keeping her alive right now.
Yeah. But you should just give it enough iodine and just, like, smack it on top of your Roomba and, like,
see how it goes.
Let it go around.
Let it dry out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Ambassador Laquatus of the Mer Empire. So there's a Mer Empire. So these fish people, they're, like, scales and oils and all this stuff. And they're short people, like this, kind of like Murlocs from World of Warcraft.
Okay. That was great.
I've been playing a lot of WoW.
Yeah.
We got Popeye, Murlocs.
Yeah.
What next?
What next? So the Merari also called to Laquatus from the moment he had seen it. Laquatus has big goals. Guy's got ambitions.
Okay.
There's a Mer Empire, which implies I'm her emperor.
Right.
And he is an ambassador.
Feels like he's not the emperor.
He's not the emperor.
Feels like he'd want to be the emperor.
He might want to be the emperor.
Right. Try on the emperor's clothes or something.
So Laquatus, yeah.
Isn't there's some sort of fable about that.
Prince and the Pauper.
There's also the Emperor's New Groove.
Yeah.
Oh, that's true.
That's a fable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's the Disney.
We won't do the songs, though. Nope. Much as I want to.
Cusco!
Laquatus.
Trembling.
Recovers the Mirari.
Damn.
From this crystallized fortress. However, he makes the mistake of giving it to one of his henchmen. A common lackey named Turg.
Oh, I was hoping he had a name.
He sounds
like
so
that.
Dumb.
Yeah, right? Very lackey-esque.
Yeah, that's a very yeah.
Yeah. You're named Turg, you're not rising to the rank above strongman.
No.
Right?
No. I'm imagining Laquatus and Turg as like the short mobster and the big mobster from Looney Tunes.
It's Yzma and Kronk.
Oh, there we go.
So Yzma gives the Mirari to Kronk.
Yeah.
And Kronk.
Right, right. The wishes.
The wishes for Cusco. Cusco's wishes. So Kronk, thinking he's doing the right thing, or Turg. He's doing the right thing. It's like, oh, we've recovered this valuable artifact. You know who'd love this?
The Emperor.
The Emperor.
Fuck. Oh, of course.
So basically, Yzma hands him the Mirari. Kamal shows up, and Yzma's like, oh, you go do with that what you know you need to do. Not explaining it to dumb old Turg.
Turg, who is just a big strong man, but his head is just a fish head.
Yeah, yeah. Like, fully muscular body, and then just, like, actual fish head. Just
constantly gasping.
Transform your gills, idiot.
Splashing iodine on him.
Yeah, yeah.
Right away. Laquatus.
And then Yzma is like, I guess, monologuing to Kamal, like, haha, idiot, I got the Mirari, you can't have it now.
He turns around. Turg's gone.
Yeah, Turg's gone.
Oh no.
So Turg brings it to the Mer Emperor Aboshan at the heart of the Mer Empire.
Nice.
So the Mer Empire is pretty cool. It was more sophisticated than the landbound cultures, with considerable magic forces held by its primary occupants, the Cephalids.
Oh, squid people.
So, yeah, it's basically like octopode people.
Octoman.
Yeah. They kind of look like the Illithid.
Mind Flayers, yeah.
Mind Flayers from Dungeons & Dragons.
Side note, Baldur's Gate 3 looks fucking crazy.
Looks tight. It's by the guys, it's by Larian Studios Divinity Original Sin 2.
We have an Illithid episode. Go back and listen to that.
I've been wanting to play Divinity.
I love Kentucky Flayed Chicken.
Yeah.
Was our Mind Flayer episode.
Yeah.
One of my personal favorites.
Yeah.
So they were ruled by, the Mer Empire was ruled by these Mind Flayer-esque people who had, like, considerable magic powers. And Mind Flayers, too, are also, like...
Ridiculously strong.
Ridiculously strong because they have, like, otherworldly magic.
Yeah.
Where, like, you can have an anti-magic shell in Dungeons & Dragons, and it doesn't affect Mind Flayers because they use what are called psionics, which is just, like, mind powers, not magic,
okay.
I guess.
Yeah.
Where magic comes from ley lines in Dungeons & Dragons and in Magic the Gathering because they were made by the same people.
Oh!
Now,
are these guys... evil? Because I know that Mind Flayers are objectively cruel and horrible monsters.
Yeah, they're objectively cruel and evil. These guys know. There's an advanced governing body of aristocrats held under power, holding power under an imperial office.
So, oh, okay.
Huh.
I guess lawful evil.
If I were to picture, like, their empires, like, underwater, a bunch of domey, like, buildings and things like that.
It's just underwater. There's no need for domes.
Oh, because they can breathe under there.
They're fish people, yeah.
Frick.
Frick.
Cephalids were also skilled merchants, and the Mer Empire held a wealth of treasures and fine craftsmanship, giving them considerable clout among inland cultures. The empire ran along the eastern coasts of the continent. Kamal pursued the lackeys, Turg, Kronk, and Yzma.
Yeah.
Once they took the Mirari.
Wait, what's Yzma's real name in Magic?
Laquatus?
Laquatus, yeah.
Laquatus.
Ambassador Laquatus.
It's a dude, Turg. Not an old lady, right?
It is a dude.
Yeah. Well, as much of a dude as a fish person can be. Yeah.
I don't know what that's... I'm not going to unpackage that one. Fish
people.
Fish people. Are fish people really people?
I don't know.
People have rights.
I call my dog dude, so I'd call a fish person dude.
That's fair.
Bruh.
Bruh.
Are you a Minecraft
We're all wearing backwards hats today. Like, the listeners at home can't hear it, but it was a thing before we started recording. They were like, let's all put on backwards hats for this.
Yeah.
Ethan had his backwards, mine was forwards, and I was like, I like the way yours is going. Yeah. And then Pete found one that looks like it could be Make America Great Again.
It's CN. Yeah.
It's a red hat with white lettering on the front.
Yeah. It's a CN Centennial. That's a train company in Canada.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Canadian National.
Canadian National. trains.
Nice.
So Kamal's in pursuit of the Mirari still, but he can only go so far. Once the artifact passes the limits of the coast, he's like, I can't transform into a fish person. Fish person can transform into
sayonara,
land people.
Idiot.
Yeah, just like 2 steps into the water, like Kamal like is at the edge of like the waves keep washing up to his feet. He has to back up. Like, oh. Oh, damn you!
Like follows the waves out.
Yeah.
Runs away from the waves.
Yeah. every time the tide goes out, he thinks he's like, oh, it's finally happening. I can get there.
Honestly, have you ever like just gone running into water that has like it's so fun to run and then just jump in? Imagine if you could run and then mid-jump turn into a fish.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah, dude. That'd be awesome.
Dude, that...
Being a druid would whip ass.
Yeah.
Let's be real.
Feral, dude. All the way.
Yeah.
You want that shape-shifting.
Yeah. Shape-change.
Oh, man.
I like that quote.
Circle of the moon.
Being a druid would whip ass.
Would whip ass. That shit slaps, yo. So, Kamal, he makes it to Breaker Bay, is the town that he ends up is called. He settles down, takes on odd jobs. He gives up on the Mirari.
Oh, okay.
It's gone. It's outside of his grasp. He competes in and ultimately dominates the local pit fights.
Okay.
He painted.
They got pit fights everywhere now?
Yeah. Local jobs are pit fights, not like fixing things around the house.
Yeah. He tinkers. He putzes around.
Like some old fisherman just like sitting at a bar. He's just like, you want an odd job? We got a pit fight arena down by the cod fishery.
You're looking to make some coin, traveler? That's and like very sounds, video game-esque,
yeah,
right?
Like, yeah. And he sounds like Popeye. Barely every man just sounds like
Oh, no, that was a woman. That was a woman telling him.
That was the lady who runs the inn.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Got you.
Old lady Papa.
Yeah. She's been breathing that sea air.
Yeah.
And smoking for centuries.
Yeah. As everyone knows, the smell of the ocean is horribly caustic and bad for you.
Yeah. It's a salt.
Mm-hmm.
It's a salt.
It's a salt.
It's
okay.
Assaulting.
Yeah. Yeah, it is salt.
That is assault.
Yeah. He also trains aspiring young pit fighters. And he kind of gives up on the Mirari, like I said. The Emperor Aboshan, however...
Boats going by, he's just like behind him, he's like, I have no idea how I'll ever do it.
Yeah, that's it. Today only, like the world's first submarine.
Yeah.
He's like, I just can't be bothered to do anything anymore. I'm so depressed these days.
Snorkels back
to
the for pits. Sale! Snorkels for sale!
Yeah.
Self-contained underwater breathing apparatuses!
Back to the pits.
Yeah, that's it.
Hey, sir, can I interest you in something? No, thank you, son.
There's only one thing I want. Yeah. And surely you don't have it or have easy access to it.
Oh, yeah.
Water breathing spells spells for sale.
If only I could use my magical powers somehow.
Yeah.
My connection to the planes.
Yeah. The Emperor Aboshan, however, was a little more consumed by the Mirari. It turns out, like I'd said, the Laquatus, who had initially grabbed the Mirari, was actively conspiring against Aboshan, and the Emperor was turning a little paranoid and untrusting. You can't trust your right-hand man, you know what I mean?
Well, there's always a treacherous vizier.
Yeah.
It's on the CV.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Do you guys know why they call it right-hand man?
I don't know.
He sits on your right at the dinner table.
Left hand is sinister also, for some
reason.
Yeah,
when I looked it up, it came down to more of that stuff. I thought it might be like...
It's not that
like,
right is good, but left is like bad.
And where the advisor sits, like in the throne room, and then which also translates to your, like the chess table. Like, I think, where's the queen and the king?
At the back in the middle? I don't know.
Yeah,
what,
I don't know which left or right, though.
I think the queen starts on your color, and the queen starts on an off color.
I think the queen's always to the left.
Could be.
Don't know.
Then you'd have a man to your right, which is a knight.
You actually talked about doing chess lore one day, didn't you?
Yeah. I'll come up with it one day.
Are you going to do chess lore on Tobey Maguire? Was that it?
Yeah. I don't know
He played Bobby Fischer in the movie. Anyway. Swing and a miss.
I have seen Bobby Fischer documentaries, but I guess I missed that one.
Yeah. It's not a document. It's like a biopic, I think. Yeah. Not exactly a documentary. So Aboshan, the Emperor, is paranoid. When the Mirari comes into his power, he was granted a vision. He gazes into the orb. Aboshan was transfixed by visions of a world entirely covered with water.
Oh.
And so he poured mana into the Mirari to make the vision a reality.
Uh-oh.
This causes an enormous wave to sweep over the coast of Otaria, flooding a third of the continent, including Breaker Bay, where Kamal had been idly living.
Hmm.
However, as with Kirtar before him, Aboshan's spell went out of control, devastating the palace and causing Aboshan to shift uncontrollably between his guild and lugged form.
Oh, I was imagining the thing would just like, oh, I want the entire land to be covered with water, but it just shifts the water out of the ocean onto land. Yeah. They just switch places, yeah, so yeah. His kingdom is completely dry.
He's getting like waterboarded right now, or airboarded, or whichever way you want to put it.
Yeah, airboarded.
Yeah.
Just pouring air onto his face.
He's got a towel over his face that's like a compressed air can.
Yeah, that's it. And it's not, you don't lie on your back, you kind of like lie facing down, and the air bubbles are like going up into your face. Rising up into your face. just compressed air straight into the gills. Like,
not in the gills.
So the magic that he pumps into it is also causing him to shift uncontrollably between his gilled and lunged form. So I like to think that the tidal wave comes, but it's not water, it's just iodine. So I can't stop like switching back and forth. He retains enough awareness to call his guards when Laquatus tries to take the orb from him, but soon died as the Murari consumed him. So he just gets eaten by the monkey's paw.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Does it like suck the life out of him, or does he disappear?
It's not very clear. Cool. So I've mentioned it on other episodes. There's a lot of Magic the Gathering books.
Yeah.
And anytime they would do a set, they used to release a novel with the set, and that's where a lot of these stories come from.
Oh, okay, cool.
And for a long time, they actually did like way more than like 4 or 5 a year. They would kind of do like one, and then they would have like a bunch of spinoffs, and they let like different authors write and everything. So I assume like these stories are from one of those books, but the wiki didn't go that too much into it. Yeah. I could have looked into it more.
Who cares where the citations come from?
Yeah, who cares about
this is what happened.
Who cares about sourcing your work? I mean, whatever. As far as I'm concerned, I wrote this.
Yeah. Ethan, you're doing such a great job. This is crazy.
Yeah. Crazy world building, right?
Lore Boys is all original.
Yeah, absolutely.
Lore Boys canon, Lore Boys is original.
The Murari, in the wake of the tidal wave, was recovered and brought back to the Cabal, who once more put it up as a prize in a Bloodsport tournament. So, like,
no problems here.
Yeah. it gets washed up. I guess there's like a black aligned like warrior there who like in the Mur Empire who's
that's
like
where this went.
Yeah. Oh, hey, look at that. It's like the tidal wave comes and
it's like Jumanji at the end of that movie where it washes up on the shore.
Yeah, yeah. or it's like the tidal wave happens and it like washes the Murari away and it like just barely hits Cabal City where there's these three pedestals with like the two other prizes and one empty pedestal and it just washes up right onto the middle pedestal.
Ding, ding. Clock right there. Yeah. Like what makes me think though, if it did like roll up onto the side, like why would you want to bring it to the Bloodsport tournament? Why would you not just keep it for yourself? Like, or, unless you're just really into Bloodsport and there's not any prizes, like they're just fighting for crayons at this
point. I do think the whole thing is like the people of Cabal City love Bloodsport.
Okay.
And they want good tournament. Wow. And they want people to, they want like, they've seen like Cabal, who was, you know, one of their best champions, and Laquatus, and
like run off to chase this thing
rather than fighting in their Bloodsport tournament. So like the people want these good champions.
Yeah.
We don't want them chasing other stuff. We want them to fight in our tournament and kill each other.
Okay.
And then I guess the idea for the Cabal is we're going to, you know, natural selection the strongest fighter. And then he'll be our champion, and we'll give him this powerful artifact.
Yeah. The best way to hire people is to make them so desperate for this magical artifact that they have no choice but to show up.
Yeah, so next up, I guess Kamal's going to get that artifact, right?
I mean, Kamal never really stops chasing this artifact.
Until you get enough.
The Murari might as well be a waterfall, and Kamal never listens to TLC.
Okay, there you go.
He has to stick to the...
Don't go chasing waterfalls.
He does go chasing waterfalls.
Yeah.
Constantly and consistently. Also water waves. Kamal returns to Cabal City to compete for the orb, where we would meet up with Chainer, an old friend, and the one who had initially found the Murari.
Yeah.
So they got a bit of history, these two.
You know, yeah, black boy.
They were pals. They were chummy. Chainer was what's called a dementia summoner. Dementia casters.
He just makes your grandparents go crazy?
Yeah. He just, he makes you, like, wait at the wrong bus stop and stuff.
he makes sure that the other contestants don't do as well because their family doesn't show up.
Sport kind of thing.
Yeah.
Or you're in the pit and you're like, oh wait, did I leave the fucking stove on?
Yeah.
Oh
yeah.
Shit, and you get all distracted and then you get your head cut off by Kamal.
Grandpa doesn't come to your blood recital.
Yeah, yeah. Dementia casters are members of the Cabal, pretty much exclusively.
Okay.
These mages have the unique ability to summon horrors from their personal dementia space, a place populated with the caster's greatest fears and all the beings he or she has killed.
Ooh.
Cool.
So later dementia casters could also summon horrors from other people's minds. So
see, that would make a lot more sense.
Yeah.
Then
Because if you're
summoning your own fears,
I'm afraid of spiders. Here's a giant spider. How can I fight?
I'm afraid of spiders. Yeah. Yeah.
You know how many giant spiders a fantasy warrior has killed?
Yeah, thousands.
Yeah. Thousands.
You cut your teeth on them.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
So the two meet back up in Cabal City, and they get to talking, and Kamal kind of explains what he's been doing. He's like, "Hey, so I've been kind of, you remember that thing that you found? That crazy Super Bowl looking thing.
I've been into it.
I've been pretty into it. Yeah, I've been kind of running all over looking for it.
I can't tell if I've slept since I've seen it.
Yeah, doesn't feel like that's for sure. Every time I see it, I hear static. Kamal basically explains to him like, I gotta have it. I'll do anything to win this tournament. And it turns out the tournament conveniently has switched to doubles.
Oh, nice.
So the two are gonna team up. And we'll find out next time how they do.
Okay, well, that's a good cliffhanger.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
And how they're going to split it once they win it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure that'll happen. Yeah.
We'll find out, huh? And that's kind of the first three quarters of Kamal's story.
Okay.
We'll talk about the end of the tournament next time we do the Magic episode, assuming it comes out next week. And shortly into it, we're going to meet up with Jessica, so I will also do Jessica's backstory.
Okay, cool.
And how she ends up where she is to meet back up with Kamal.
Cool.
Like I said, it might be a three-parter.
I'm okay with that.
We'll find out.
I don't know if you guys want more content from us.
Yeah.
Like, we're sorry if we end up producing more content.
We know we got you like nice and comfortable to us not releasing episodes. But
yeah, exactly.
We could do a Comedy Bang Bang thing and just do like 10 hours.
One 10-hour episode. Yeah.
Well, charity's coming up in November, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that is true. In November, we will be doing probably a 16-hour stream again.
Extra Life? I'd like to.
Maybe 24 hours. I'm saying now. Don't get your hopes up for a 24-hour stream.
No.
We're all working professionals. This is not our job full-time.
No. But we'll see what we can do.
We will see what we can do.
Wait, when is it? It's November?
November.
Yeah.
We all have...
Am I going to be able to step away from WoW for a whole 24 hours?
Yeah.
3 months after it releases?
You can stream WoW.
Oh! Perfect.
Combine them.
So
I'll just do all 24 hours. Don't worry, guys.
This is
all right. Fuck it.
This is obviously way, way in advance. But last year we did a charity stream for 16 hours straight.
Yep.
We raised $600, something like that.
Way above our goal.
But yeah, way above what we thought we would do, and that was or what we thought you guys would do. How much you guys would turn up? Super appreciate it. So look forward to that in the fall. Reach out to us on Twitter. If you liked the multi-part episodes or if you don't like the multi-part episodes, tell us what you like, because we love to hear feedback from you guys.
We'll read it on air.
We love to curate these things for you. And I've been Ethan, like I said at the top of the show. You can reach me at Ethan the Deadman. You can find Loreboys Twitter at Loreboys. We're also available we have a website, loreboys.com.
We've been quite active on Loreboys Twitter as well, so if you reach out, we respond generally within a couple hours.
Mm-hmm.
Peter says we very generously, but he has been very active on Loreboys Twitter.
Well.
And Peter, where can we find you?
I'm at Pete O'Donoghue on Twitter, at Loreboys Podcast on Instagram. Not going to get into why there's no art, but life's hard, so it'll be back.
Go ahead, Pete. Just vent. Just vent for the next 15 minutes. Yeah.
What you want, really, is a vlog at the end of this.
Yeah,
fucking
yeah.
Day, right?
Peter looks like Turg the fish right now.
Sucking back tears.
Yeah.
So at Pete O'Donoghue on Twitter, at Loreboys Podcast on Instagram. Mm-hmm. And also, one thing that is actively back, where there is a new episode basically 4 or 5 times a week, is youtube.com/theloreboys. If you want to see our archive combined with art, I have been uploading our entire backlog. Not every day, because 7 days a week is a lot for people for their sub boxes, but 4 or 5 episodes a week if you want to go back and see old ones, or if you're new and that's where you prefer to be. We've gotten some new subscribers on YouTube as well, so thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
There's that. We're truly cross-media.
Yeah. And Yim.
Yeah, if you want to find me, you can find me on PSN at JAYMILLK64. But more likely, I'll be on Battle.net lately with Hearthstone. And I even tried Heroes of the Storm the other day. That was wild. and World of Warcraft. If you want to check out my World of Warcraft character, you can go check out UNICEF, UNICEF, on Executus. And if you want my Battle.net...
Horde side.
Oh, what's that?
Horde side.
Horde side, that's right.
Horde side.
And
we're horde boys.
It's here. Undead priest, yeah.
And we're some hordy boys.
Oh yeah,
horny hordy boys.
If you want my Battle.net, I will give it to you if you DM us on one of our social media things. I don't want to put it out just for anyone, but if you
he'll give it to anyone if you DM
us. If you message us first,
yeah. He wants you to put it. You got to foreplay, James. You gotta get him in the mood to give out his.
I like to be able to reserve the right to put a cap on it if it gets too much. Yeah. I'm sure all of the people who normally reach out to us, I'd be more than happy to give you my Battle.net. So.
Reach out to James on Facebook, The Lore Boys on Facebook, I believe.
The Lore Boys on Facebook, yeah.
Lore Boys Podcast on Instagram. I have no idea.
Twitch.tv/TheLoreBoys. I played a lot of Beat Saber, a little bit of Heavy Rain, falling off again. Put those notifications on, though, because I do pop in from time to time.
James streams more than Peter and I, that's for sure.
Yeah.
I don't even play video games anymore. I talk about magic. I don't even talk about video games or play video games anymore.
In the last month, we've done like 30 or 40 hours on stream.
Yeah, easy.
Also, we do have a Patreon. It's not linked to anything yet. So we've heard a couple people on Twitter just like, hey, we'll probably set up one tier.
I'm going to set up 90 tiers.
Okay.
It's going to go up in very small increments.
A thousand.
They're all going to be virtually identical.
Yeah. Yeah. $1, $1.01.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. All the way up to $3.
Well, no, we're Canadian, so we can't legally use 1 cent. We'd have to round it to the nickel anyway. Yeah, so
forbidden.
Yeah, so we'll do $1, $1.05.
Sorry,
$1.10, $1.15, $1.20.
Yeah.
Et cetera.
Yeah.
$1.25 was the next one.
Yeah. That's 5 cents after
quick
20.
Quick math, my dude.
Yeah,
nice.
Quick counting. And for anybody who is impatient, doesn't want to wait for the Patreon to get set up, we do have a special feature which won't be dying out with the introduction of the Patreon, which is called Lore Boys Premium. It's virtually identical in every single way to a Patreon.
Tremendously more expensive.
Yeah, tremendously more expensive. Tremendously less convenient because we do not accept Visa, MasterCard, PayPal. We pretty much only accept money transfers.
Yeah.
Through so just hit up your local Western Union and get us that money.
I think also if we would have taken every user up on this, like if everyone who has listened so far had applied to every single Lore Boys Premium, we would either be dead, broke, or
we'd be all those things
in between. Sure, yeah.
We'd have also have killed other people's family members.
That happened.
So yeah, the Lore Boys Premium really is a premium service because it costs a lot, but it costs us way more.
Yes,
but it's worth it
in terms of financial sanity and just general well-being on our part.
Exactly.
So this week we've been because. This does cost us so much money. We have been kind of, our hydro bills have been a little through the roof. So we've been saving a bit of money, pinching a few pennies here and there. Not pennies.
Nickels.
Pinching a few nickels.
Yeah.
Here and there by bathing together. And we saw recently, or I guess a couple weeks ago, a very popular Instagrammer had a pretty great idea. And we decided to just piggyback off her. Yep. So we are selling bathwater. Of all three of us.
Bath Boys?
Yeah, Bath Boys.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, bathboys.com.
We didn't shower like for like 3 days before, so if you actually get your vial of this, you can reduce it very slowly, and you'll get Lore Boys scum eventually, which you can powder over your food.
Yeah,
it's a season.
Yeah, so the Belle Delphine water has a disclaimer, do not drink. Ours, please do.
Yes.
Enjoy that.
Don't be a coward.
It will go bad.
Yeah.
Jamie's a doctor, he says...
I'm a doctor.
That's what doctors say.
That's all I needed to hear.
Good enough for me.
Yeah. And we're not selling it in those like pussy little tubs that Belle Delphine sells it in.
No.
You get in a gallon.
Yeah.
You sign up for the low price of $23.99 a day. You're going to get a gallon every single day of Lore Boys bathwater.
Yeah.
And it is good. It is tasty. Like James said, it makes a beautiful spread if you let it dry out a bit.
Mm-hmm.
You'll notice it's very viscous.
There's four as well. There's one for each Lore Boy and also what we call the trifecta, which is all three of us from the same bathroom.
It's very heavy in iodine though, so don't put it near your axolotls.
Do not leave it near an axolotl.
Or your merman.
Yeah. No. Yeah. And that constitutes
a Lore Boys out.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.